BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a Friday News Roundup here today on Crosstalk. Thank you for joining us. And, wow, do we have a ton of stories we'd like to share with you today. Stories that certainly impact us across the nation. Many topics are not brought up in national news media, things that you need to know about. And certainly give comment on those issues as well. We live in some troublesome times. And the importance of understanding the times in which we live, to be faithful stewards of what God has given to us by way of talents and abilities, to be salt, to be light, to share the good news of the gospel is so critical in such a time as this. As we see what is taking place in our society today is becoming even more and more perilous, as Paul wrote to Timothy, but certainly we understand the importance of being light, to share the good news of the gospel, being salt, having an impact on the society around us as well. Salt has a preservative effect, does it not? And certainly we are called for such a time as this to be both salt and light. We're going to pick up our story here today, a news roundup with a story from the New York Post. President Biden Tuesday branded the Capitol riot a coup attempt. Can you believe that, folks? Now, I've never heard that coming from the president before, calling it a coup attempt, and called on the Senate to scrap the filibuster. Isn't that something? Using January 6th as a means to bring about the filibuster in order to bring in these new political election guidelines that they are seeking to take control over elections across the United States. To erode the state rights, trample on states' rights, and make federalized elections. He sharpened his attack on former President Trump and his supporters, bracketed by Biden once again referring. He referred to Vice President Kamala Harris as President Harris again in the speech, and also made an assertion that he had been arrested multiple times while fighting for civil rights. There are so many false things that had been said in this speech, but calling this a coup attempt from January 6th of last year. Also coming from WND.com, a column by Pat Buchanan saying the next few days will mark a turning point in the nation's history, said he's quoting President Biden in the Atlanta speech to reframe the debate in Congress on voting rights legislation and the filibuster. He went on, will we choose democracy over autocracy, light over shadows, justice over injustice? I know where I stand. I will defend our democracy against all enemies, foreign and, yes, domestic. And on this issue of light over shadows, good versus evil, where will this institution, the United States Senate, stand? Will you stand against voter suppression, yes or no? Will you stand against election subversion, yes or no? Will you stand for democracy, yes or no? I ask every elected official in America, how do you want to be remembered? Well, reaction was swift, so much for unifying the country and working across the aisle, said Mitt Romney. Pure demagoguery, said Mitch McConnell. The world saw our sitting commander-in-chief propagandize against his own country to a degree that would have made Pravda blush. Dick Durbin also said that perhaps the president went a little too far in his rhetoric. Went too far indeed. But the president is calling for a move that he has endorsed for Chuck Schumer to take to force a vote altering the U.S. Senate's longstanding filibuster rule to bring about a change, if implemented, that would provide cover for the Democrats' 2020 election fraud and potentially abolish all constraints on abortion. Biden claimed, quote, I believe that the threat to our democracy is so grave that we must find a way to pass these voting rights bills, debate them, vote, let the majority prevail. And if that bare minimum is blocked, we have no option but to change the Senate rules, including getting rid of a filibuster for this. They're trying to pass this so-called Voting Rights Advancement Act, the John Lewis one, or the For the People Act, folks, that would take away all the protections that states have to protect the integrity of the vote. They're trying to remove these with this For the People Act and this Voting Rights Act. Now, we're going to take you back in time because Chuck Schumer, who is now advocating for the abolishment of the filibuster, not too many years ago was making arguments on how that filibuster is needed. And if it were taken away, I mean, this would just be such a mark against this nation and our Constitution. Let's just listen to a couple clips from years past from Chuck Schumer. Here he is.
We are on the precipice of a crisis, a constitutional crisis. The checks and balances which have been at the core of this republic are about to be evaporated by the nuclear option. The checks and balances which say that if you get 51% of the vote, you don't get your way 100% of the time. It is amazing. It's almost a temper tantrum by those on the hard, hard right. They want the judge, they want their way every single time.
Who does?
And they will change the rules, break the rules, misread the Constitution, so that they will get their way. That, Madam President, is not becoming of the leadership of the Republican side of the aisle, nor is it becoming of this republic. That, Madam President, is what we call abuse of power.
The abuse of power that he is trying to force through the Senate. Let's go back in history one other point where he addressed this.
The bottom line is very simple. The ideologues in the Senate want to turn what the Founding Fathers called the cooling saucer of democracy into the rubber stamp of dictatorship. We will not let them. They want, because they can't get their way on every judge, to change the rules in midstream, to wash away 200 years of history. They want to make this country into a banana republic where if you don't get your way, you change the rules. Are we going to let them?
No!
It'll be a doomsday for democracy if we do.
And who changed the rules? It was the Democrats under Harry Reid that changed the rules on the filibustering of judges. And now they're making an attempt once again. But these are arguments that Chuck Schumer was making in the past why this was a bad thing for our Constitution, a bad thing for our nation. Talk about the temper tantrum that that the opposing party to his party was throwing and have to get their way in every issue. My, oh my, we need to look in a mirror, don't we? Let's go to the Epoch Times. United States is donating approximately $308 million in humanitarian aid to Afghanistan and will also contribute additional COVID-19 vaccine doses, a White House spokesman confirmed on Tuesday. National Security Council spokeswoman Emily Horn said in a government statement that the U.S. remained the single largest donor of humanitarian aid in Afghanistan, nearly $782 million since the chaotic ending of the 20-year war. The confirmation of the latest U.S. donations came as the U.N. on Tuesday launched a multi-billion dollar funding appeal to avert a humanitarian and economic crisis in the country. Very interesting, the decision by the U.S. and the international community not to recognize the Taliban-led government that governed with a strict interpretation of Islamic law when it was in control from 96 to 2001 has now created a quandary for Western powers about how to provide enough aid without giving the Taliban legitimacy or putting money directly into its hands. The U.S. Agency for International Development has called on the Taliban to allow all aid workers, especially women, to operate independently and securely as humanitarian groups look to assist those in need of aid. Calling on the Taliban to allow this, can we be sure that the millions and millions of dollars of aid is not going to the Taliban? American Military News reports that President Biden's administration has approved the release of five men held at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. However, the men who have been charged or held without charge likely won't be freed anytime soon. They're looking for nations that will take them. Haven't we already seen a number of those that came under release under the Obama administration that are now back in leadership powers with a vendetta against the United States of America? They were held as law of war detainees, a term used to describe prisoners of the war on terror. Western Journal reporting, remember now how of the fall of Kabul, we were promised that the Taliban 2.0, it was going to be a softer, gentler theocracy, one which was going to include a multitude of voices in government and would definitely wouldn't be embracing terrorism like it did during the first 10-year running the country of Afghanistan. Well, a report states that the group is currently the de facto government of Afghanistan, has now threatened to send 2,000 suicide bombers to Washington, D.C., and yet there's nary a peep out of President Joe Biden's administration. The Taliban has made it clear through their actions that they're still the same extremists that they were when they chased them from power. Suicide bombing threat was first reported by the Middle East Media Research Institute. According to the December report, Afghanistan's acting defense minister said that if America wanted troops in Afghanistan to reopen its embassy there, the Taliban wanted an equivalent number of terrorists in our capital. Interesting. Oh, yeah, also from PJ Media, Twitter is allowing the Iranian government officials to issue death threats against Trump. Now, keep in mind, President Trump's banned from Twitter. Oh, no, he's too hostile, too. You know, his rhetoric is inciting. Well, President Trump has been banned not only from Twitter, but the Republic. You know, that thing that the Democrats constantly refer to as our democracy. Twitter is now is nothing if not consistent, inconsistent here, because now they are even allowing for tweets against the President Trump, threats against the president to go forth and not suspending those who are perpetrating, the Republic of Iran that are perpetrating the attacks. Don't you see a double standard taking place here? Congressman Greg Stube of Florida said, so the leftist oligarchs at Twitter will allow the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps to tweet death threats of President Trump, but will deplatform him for calling for a peaceful protest? Last I checked, making death threats is inciting violence. Let's see. Speaking of social media platforms, President Trump is going to be launching Truth Social. It's his media platform that will go live. It's reported on President's Day of February 21. That's according to a report in the New York Post, which has cited a listing in the Apple App Store. Post called it the latest conservative alternative to large social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook, which the former president has repeatedly slammed for censorship. Speaking of censorship, you know, President Biden is calling for a censorship of those who are speaking out on COVID, that which he calls misinformation. Let's listen in.
Unfortunately, while our military is stepping up, as they always do, there are others sitting on the sidelines. And we're standing in the way. If you haven't gotten vaccinated, do it. Personal choice impacts us all, our hospitals, our countries. I make a special appeal to social media companies and media outlets. Please deal with the misinformation and disinformation that's on your shows. It has to stop. COVID-19 is one of the most formidable enemies America's ever faced. We've got to work together. Not against each other.
Isn't that something? Asking for the social media companies and media outlets, please deal with the misinformation and disinformation that's on your shows. It's got to stop. Interesting indeed. Let's go to the Christian Post. Newly released emails reveal that a controversial letter likening parents to domestic terrorists for raising concerns about the material that their children were exposed to in public schools was crafted at the request of U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona. The chain of emails released by the advocacy group Parents Defending Education Tuesday documented a conversation between two National School Board associate members, and it all points back right to Biden's executive education secretary urging the NSBA to write a letter labeling parents as domestic terrorists. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what was early man like?
Chris, early man was, of course, Genesis man, Adam and his descendants. But evolutionists have a different idea. They claim that the animals gave rise to the humankind. But as near as we can tell, man has always been intelligent and advanced. In 1991, the frozen carcass of a man who died over 3,000 years ago was found in Austria. Evolutionists expected that people from that era were rather primitive. But this guy had a framed backpack, a copper axe, was carrying dried fruit and other foods, a fire starting kit, and a first aid kit. He had a bow made out of the best wood available. He was fully human. And that's the biblical view. Man was created in Genesis, descended from Adam and Noah, fully human from the start. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and it's a news roundup day here today. Thanks for tuning in as we seek to keep you informed on critical issues. From the New American, Tuesday, the Department of Justice announced that it will be forming a new unit that will focus specifically on domestic terror threats. Matthew Olson, who is the Assistant Attorney General for National Security, made the announcement in his opening remarks to the Senate Judiciary Committee. According to Olson, the number of domestic terrorism cases that the FBI is currently investigating has more than doubled since March of 2020, saying that the threat posed by domestic terrorism is on the rise. He noted bringing up the 2015 mass shooting at a Charleston, South Carolina church. He talked about the shooting of Steve Scalise, congressman, and other examples as well. But last week, we marked the one-year anniversary of the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. In the wake of that attack, the Department of Justice has undertaken an effort unprecedented in scope and complexity to hold accountable all of those who engaged in criminal acts, Olson said. The attacks in recent years underscore the threat that domestic terrorism continues to pose to our citizens, to law enforcement officers, to public officials, and to our democratic institutions. Keep in mind, there was no such call, not even mentioned that I saw here, of what took place in the streets of Portland or Minneapolis or Seattle or Chicago or you name the city, but using January 6th as a catalyst to form this new task force on domestic terrorism. National Review is reporting California Governor Gavin Newsom unveiled a budget proposal Monday that would include expanding the state's Medi-Cal health coverage to all low-income illegal immigrants in the state. California already began offering a coverage to low-income illegals under 26, and then in 2019 added that for those 55 and older. Now they propose adding the remainder of the illegal population no sooner than January 1st of 2020. Ever wonder why California is going bankrupt? Well, let's take a look here at National Review. New York City Mayor Eric Adams enacted a measure Sunday that will allow more than 800,000 non-citizens, I guess that would be illegal aliens, in the city to vote in municipal elections. The new law, which the city council passed a month ago, will grant voting rights to any adult who's been a lawful permanent resident in the city for more than 30 days. If it survives a legal challenge, NYC will be the first to institute the law. Under this, legal non-Americans would be able to vote for a number of elected positions, including mayor, comptroller, public advocate, bureau president, and also council members. However, the law would disqualify eligible individuals from voting for president or members of Congress in federal races and state gubernatorial elections among those. Undocumented immigrants would not be granted the right to vote under the measure. So I misspoke there when I said illegal aliens at the beginning, but non-citizens have the right to vote. Washington Free Beacon is reporting nearly half of all migrants that Border Patrol released into the U.S. in 2021 cannot be located, according to data from the Department of Homeland Security. More than 100,000 migrants released into the U.S. from the southern border between March 21st and August 31st of 2021 and given a notice to report to ICE within 60 days. Nearly half of those did not check in, making their status and location unknown to immigration authorities. The release of the data comes after Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin in August pressed Department of Homeland Security Mayorkas for an accounting of all migrants released in the U.S. Mayorkas responded to the letter on January 11th, nearly 3 months after Johnson's request. They can't locate some 50,000 migrants who were released into the United States. CBN News is reporting as multiple states attempt to protect unborn persons from being eliminated at abortion clinics or by mail-order abortion pills, pro-choice activists and feminists are pushing on another front to get medical colleges to include abortion in their curriculum. The latest effort is an article by three second-year medical students at the University of Illinois College of Medicine appearing in a recent issue of Ms. Magazine trying to back up their claim that abortion is health care. They argue that medical schools should include abortion procedures in their training plans to future physicians. They make two main points. First, that misinformation that can discourage patients from seeking care. And second, that educating health professionals in abortion care is a powerful method of preventing the politicization of medical care, such as abortion access. LifeNews.com telling us another act of favoritism to the billion-dollar abortion industry. California Governor Gavin Newsom wants to use taxpayer dollars to pay for schooling for future abortionists. Insider reports Newsom's proposed budget released last week includes $20 million to help abortionists pay off their student loans and provide scholarships to medical students who commit to aborting unborn babies. How evil have we become? Along with the $20 million for future abortionists, Newsom also proposed another $20 million to help abortion facilities enhance security and secure their physical and information technology infrastructure, according to the budget summary. We've gotten to the point to force taxpayer dollars to fund and train individuals to kill unborn babies in the womb. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Scripture says. Who can know it? LifeNews.com also reports back in court last week, abortion activists and Texas officials argued about procedural questions regarding the Texas heartbeat law, which has saved as many as 10,000 unborn babies' lives so far. A Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals panel considered the two sides' arguments last Friday involving the unique private enforcement mechanism in the law and the court that should be next to consider the case according to Bloomberg Law. At this point, the court battle is not about the abortion ban itself, but the private enforcement mechanism that allows private citizens to sue abortionists who violate the ban on abortions once an unborn baby's heartbeat is detected. It's reported that there are estimates that as many as 100 unborn babies are being spared from abortion every single day. Life News also reporting, New Hampshire leaders voted Wednesday to defund the Planned Parenthood abortion chain and other abortion groups of more than $1 million in state taxpayer funds. That's coming out of the state of New Hampshire. LifeNews.com also reporting a Senate committee voted to move the nomination of abortion activist Robert Califf to the Senate floor, where a huge battle is expected as some Democrats will join Republicans in opposing the nomination. It's the Senate Health Committee. They voted 13-8 on Thursday to advance Robert Califf's nomination to head the FDA. Six Republicans, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Mike Braun of Indiana, Roger Marshall of Kansas, Tim Scott of South Carolina, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, and Jerry Moran of Kansas, all voted against Califf, along with Democrats Bernie Sanders and Peggy Hassan. But Republicans Richard Burr of North Carolina, Mitt Romney, and Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins of Maine also voted for the nomination. There's a coalition of some 49 pro-life groups have written to senators urging a no vote on the confirmation because he was instrumental in opening up sales of the abortion pill, which has killed many women and injured thousands more and killed millions of unborn babies. Let me, on this topic here as well, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has signed a bill into law that would legalize abortions up to birth. As LifeNews.com reported, the bill was will legalize abortions up to birth and allowing non-doctors to kill babies in abortions. The legislation guarantees the fundamental right of reproductive autonomy, even though women already have been reproductive autonomy and choice prior to the decision to end a baby's life in an abortion, as reproduction has already taken place. The radical measure also would lead to forcing New Jersey residents to fund abortions with their tax dollars. The bill also would allow all qualified health care professionals conduct them. Although abortion advocates have said this should be between a woman and her doctor, the legislation would allow non-doctors to do the abortions. Also reported, LifeNews.com, that the number of abortion facilities in the U.S. actually increased in 2021, according to results from Operations Rescue Annual Survey of U.S. Abortion Facilities. Today, there's a total of 720 in the U.S., 14 more than were operating in 2020, represents the largest increase in abortion facilities since 2016. That's far lower, though, than the 2,176 abortion facilities in 1991. But a total of 41 new abortion locations opened or resumed operations and abortions in 2021, while there were 27 abortion facilities that closed or halted abortions. Big rise in telemedicine to distribute abortion drugs as well. By the way, the Boston Marathon bomber Sarnev got $14 in COVID relief money and also getting money from fans that's being sent to him. Let's go to westernjournal.com. The U.S. Army, for the first time, is offering a maximum enlistment bonus of $50,000 to highly skilled recruits who sign a six-year contract as the service struggles to lure soldiers into certain critical jobs amid the continuing pandemic, according to the Associated Press. Now, isn't that interesting? Here we are. We are terminating members of the military, those who would refuse to get the jab. We're taking them out of the military and now offering hiring bonuses of $50,000 to highly skilled recruits. Major General Kevin Vereen, head of the Army Recruiting Command, told AP that shuttered schools and the competitive job market over the past year have posed significant challenges for recruiters. So heading into the most difficult months of the year for recruiting, the Army is hoping that some extra cash and a few other changes will entice qualified young people to sign up. But friends, they'd have a whole lot more people serving in the military if they would remove that requirement for the jab. $50,000 signing bonuses? New York Post is reporting a Chinese propaganda movie depicting the defeat of the U.S. Army has become the country's highest grossing film of all time. CBN News reporting in early December, the Washington Post reported that because of climate change, snow in the Mountain West may vanish for years at a time. Well, that headline did not last long. Only days later, it started to snow in the West and snowed again. An incredible photo on Twitter showed a towering wall of snow on Donner Summit in California around Christmas. Lake Tahoe got 18 feet of snow in December, an all-time record. In Virginia, some motorists were stuck on I-95 for more than 24 hours after snow and ice made the road impassable. But climate activists continue to insist that we face a worldwide climate emergency, and there have been talk of the need for what we call climate lockdowns. Over the holidays, environmentalists staged what they called Occupy Biden, an eight-day protest outside Joe Biden's Delaware home demanding that he take action on the climate. Increasing talk of instituting climate lockdowns modeled after the COVID lockdowns and under what's being called environmental authoritarianism, in which your right to drive a car, fly in a plane, or own a big house could be suspended by the government in order to fight climate change. The climate extremism is escalating, even though the weather record shows that there is not a serious problem with the climate. The Environmental Protection Agency's own website says our air continues to get cleaner year after year. Yeah, haven't you been warned about this? That they're going to use what they've learned under COVID to bring about climate lockdowns as well. Declare what's happening within the climate an emergency. Also, it's being reported by the Daily Caller that the Department of Energy has invested $1.1 billion in carbon capture and storage projects, many of which were unsuccessful or canceled over the last decade, according to a federal watchdog report. Some $684 million investment in coal CCS projects resulted in just one operational facility and seven canceled projects, according to the Government Accountability Office. They're even talking about a new solar tax proposal coming out of the state of California. I've got a few more stories I'd like to share after the break. This is Crosstalk, a News Roundup Friday. Back in a minute.
James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America, keeping you informed through a number of stories and issues that are going on. We're talking about all this climate change matters going on, and we know about the devastating Colorado wildfires. And I don't know if you caught what President Biden said and did when he went to go console in Colorado. He talked more about building these big wind turbines because of the climate change. You know, he talked about these fires and climate change. I just want you to hear what he had to say in trying to console those in the state of Colorado.
You know, we're going to have windmills you're going to see that have 100-yard wingspans each propeller on that windmill, 100 yards long. So there's so much that is going to be able to be done. And, you know, when I visit the National Renewable Energy Lab, about 20 miles, I said, from here, it's also going to create a significant number of jobs. The reason I'm telling you this is that's no solace that you lost your home now, but it's that we're going to be able to do a lot of renewable things that allow you to not only rebuild, but afford to rebuild and rebuild better, to build back better than it was before. And it includes billions of dollars for wildfire preparedness, resilience and response to protect homes and public resources.
This is a news roundup day here on Crosstalk. Let's quickly cover a few COVID-related issues. We have the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota, announced some new rules requiring either proof of vax against the COVID or a negative test within 72 hours of wanting a bite to eat. That will become effective on January the 19th, taking place in the Twin Cities. Let's see. We did hear earlier yesterday we had the report in the breaking news pertaining to OSHA and that being set back by the Supreme Court. However, allowing for the mandate for hospitals or medical facilities receiving federal funds through Medicaid and Medicare to continue to receive their shot mandates for their employees. Let's see, a second Democratic governor, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, is accused of covering up the number of COVID-19 nursing home deaths in her state after she ordered the facilities to admit COVID-positive patients. Reported by LifeNews.com, according to the Washington Free Beacon, a new state auditor's general report found that the number of COVID-19 nursing home deaths in Michigan was 42% higher than what the Whitmer administration had told the public. Let me see a couple other issues here. Let me get to, and we'll be opening up phone lines here shortly on Crosstalk. Let's see. This is, some more interesting stories that are coming forth here. Senator Johnson of Wisconsin sent a letter to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, regarding information he obtained from independent researchers. The researchers used publicly available data from the CDC's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, to uncover a potential disturbing relationship between COVID-19 adverse event reports and certain vaccine lots. Senator Johnson asked the FDA and CDC for a response to his letter no later than January 12th. To date, the FDA and CDC have not yet responded, reinforcing what he says is their arrogant lack of transparency and unwillingness to be held accountable. He's pressing right now the FDA and the CDC for information on the adverse events that are linked to certain COVID-19 vaccine lots. We also know that there is a pressure that is being placed upon the nation's blood supply right now, and we understand that there are entities that are pushing for the allowing of blood to be donated by LGBTs to relax the efforts here within the United States. We also see reported here from The Hill that the homosexual men will soon be able to give blood in France, ending what they're calling an inequality that was no longer justified. We would like to give you some opportunity to call in and voice your comments on these or other current event stories here today on Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829 today for Crosstalk. And I would like to hear your thoughts. We've had a number of stories this week, a number of issues that are going on, but certainly want to give you opportunity to weigh in on a number of issues here today. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. Perhaps you have comments on the Supreme Court decisions that came down yesterday and the impact that this is having upon health care and upon other matters as well. We understand that there is going to be some special requirements that are being placed upon truck drivers that are going from Canada to the United States and the U.S. to Canada, that it is just going to begin the beginning of backlogs in the supply chain, in that there are going to be forced mandates that are coming through their for drivers, men and women driving trucks by themselves, alone in their cab, and yet trying to enforce mandates that is going to cause some big problems. USA Today, a nationwide coronavirus testing company under investigation by the Oregon Department of Justice, which has drawn criticism from customers in several states, announced on Thursday a one-week pause also on all operations. Pause expected to take place Friday through January 21st at all Center for COVID Control testing sites. The Illinois-based company's website said it has more than 300 locations in the U.S. across several states. Two of those in Massachusetts and Washington took action this week to shut down several of the company's testing centers in their communities. Center for COVID Control's nationwide testing sites to pause as authorities in two states are shutting down the centers. Let's go to the phones here today on Crosstalk. We're going to begin with Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. I just heard yesterday Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota also claiming that those wildfires were started because of global climate change. We know all the way back to Lewis and Clark and even back farther to the Native Americans that lived out on that prairie country where the buffalo roamed, wildfires were the order of the day. They were not an anomaly, and they certainly weren't caused by global warming back in the 16th, 17th, and 1800s. So this nonsense of this was a direct result of climate change, it's a direct result of people moving out onto prairies and developing subdivisions, because those wildfires burned. And they burned the prairie grass of Colorado all the way almost to Minnesota at certain times.
Tom, thank you for your comments here today.
Thank you.
Yep, it is blaming on so-called global climate change. And so we need to enact climate emergencies and take special measures here. And those pushing for climate lockdowns to be taken place. We've got Alice next in Centerton, Arkansas. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Oh, we are living in perilous times. It seems America is a nation that has forgotten God. God's judgment, it sounds like, is coming. But there's hope if people will repent as they did in Bible times with sackcloth and ashes. I remember Gary Kaw at a VCY rally that we heard over the radio saying, if 70% of the people that call themselves Christians were really Christians, we wouldn't be in this mess. You know, before people take the wonderful Lord's Supper, we're commanded to examine ourselves, to make sure we're in the faith.
Yeah.
God is with his people, and if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, may God help America.
God bless you, Alice. Thank you for your call. Sandy in Cedar County, Missouri, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just notified just this week, and this is legislation as of this month, Jackson County, Missouri, they have new legislation given to the Blue Springs Police Department, and I have several pages of it just to go off of, and I'm sure can be looked up, that a said director, and they don't list, it's very, very vague, of course, ends up having a lot of control over the citizens of Jackson County. It is said that if they have even a perceived or believed to be by the director that they have a communicable disease, that they can be placed under isolation or quarantine and removal from public or private locations deemed necessary by this director. There's a whole page on animals and eradicating animals who also are perceived to have communicable diseases and such. And the officers will be convicted if found guilty for not complying with using enforcement by the director to enforce these laws.
My.
So well, that, my nephew has just quit the department to go somewhere else, so he didn't have to through that.
Thank you. That's, you said that's Jackson County, Missouri.
Missouri.
Okay.
And Blue Springs Police Department, but it covers, Jackson County covers from Kansas City to Oak Grove, Missouri. So the citizens from this said director, and they cannot be, once they do get put under isolation, the director is the only person, not your physician, only their physician, not anybody in your life, but this director can authorize you being freed from that.
Sandy, thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Jim in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I want to say amen to Sister Alice. I'm right there with you. Thank you so much for her instruction. But I just want to I just saw a post today, and I just want to encourage people. This lady from Austria was speaking in California, telling about how Hitler and the Nazis took over the country of Austria and how they implemented a lot of the things that are being implemented in this country right now. It's a big wake-up call. People need to see this. It's on front lines, Canadian frontline nurses, and you can see if you can come up with that post. But our legislators need to see this information and say, this is what's happening in America.
Yeah.
Wake up, America, before that happens here.
Yeah, thank you for the call and that call of warning. And, you know, I'm just seeing what's going on to our neighbor to the north in Canada. Here is from the BBC, a Canadian father who has not been vaccinated against COVID has temporarily lost the right to see his 12-year-old child. The judge's decision made at the end of last month in Quebec province suspends the father's visitation rights until February unless he decides to get vaccinated. We see that happening there. We also see in China. The Chinese city officials are offering cash bonuses to encourage citizens to report COVID rule breakers. LifeSiteNews.com has a story. Chinese city has released a disturbing new method of enforcing the COVID-19 requirements, offering cash payouts to anyone who reports a fellow citizen for breaking their rules. And folks, we are seeing this happen in countries all over. And then one of New Hampshire's leading political conservatives fighting to keep his children from the state's Child Protection Services Agency after giving his 13-year-old son ivermectin. The Epoch Times has that story, and they even had authorities come and threatened to take away their children. They had to go to the hospital. We have an ambulance here. Either you're taking them or we're taking them. But, folks, it's unbelievable. And because they had given his child ivermectin. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. The most prestigious law enforcement magazine in America is called Law Enforcement Today. Their website, lawenforcementtoday.com. Let me repeat, it is the most widely read and prestigious law enforcement publication in America. This is not some extremist website. It is read by the largest population of law enforcement officials in America. Today, their headline, is Washington State looking to detain residents in 2022 version of internment camps? Sure looks that way. It's about legislation in Washington State looking to try to throw Americans into internment camps over not being vaccinated, or maybe even supposedly being infected with COVID, much like Australia and Austria. Law enforcement magazines are paying attention. Are you?
Yes, as a news roundup day here on Crosstalk, I had to mention this earlier, but this is from Human Rights Campaign. In the wake of news that the American Red Cross has declared the first national blood crisis due to officially low blood supplies, Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer civil rights organization, on Tuesday once again called for the federal authorities to remove what they call unnecessary restrictions on blood donation by men who have had sexual relations with other men. And, folks, let me just share one other story here of sheer lunacy, and we'll go back to the phone lines. This is from Western Journal. The agency division led by Dr. Anthony Fauci is reportedly spending over $200,000 in a study designed to create transgendered monkeys on the grounds that will somehow address the issue of transgender people getting HIV. Washington Free Beacon reported Monday that the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which Fauci directs, approved over $200,000 grant to Scripps Research for the study, looking to create transgender monkeys. And this is the guy calling the shots on our COVID policy? Let's go to East Troy, Wisconsin. William, you're on the air.
Yeah, Brother Jim, I don't know if you heard about this, but on Mark Morano's website with Climate Depot, a Canadian doctor recently diagnosed one of his patients as suffering from climate change. So I don't know what the symptoms are, but boy, that seems like there's climate insanity, there's vaccine insanity, there's mask insanity, and the whole world seems to be suffering from what they call mental disorder. But we know it's just a matter of being sinful in their thinking. And, you know, Romans 1 says twice that God gives people over when they choose to disobey. So I wonder if just we're suffering here from a lot of disobedience.
Yeah. Yeah, very well could be. But suffering from a, what do you call it, climate disorder or what the...
Yeah, he actually said he's suffering from climate change. That's the exact terminology. I'm thinking, wow, how do you... You know, what kind of medicine do you give for that? I mean, I don't even want to know, honestly, but that just seems a little insane.
But William, I think I'm getting spring fever. Do I qualify? Thank you for the call. Tony in Neillsville, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say that under this administration, it's really getting deep out in the hog pen, isn't it? And how bad is it gonna get between now and the election this coming November.
Yeah.
And one other thing, my pastor that
let me just mention here, Tony, I'm just going to respond to that. How bad is it going to get? I don't know, but I can tell you this, that they're performing all of these maneuvers right now in Washington, D.C., doing maneuvers in Washington, D.C., to actually, you know, kill the filibuster and put in these voting reform laws prior to this election taking place. And it really behooves people from all across this nation to contact their senators in Washington, D.C. and object to the efforts that they're making to federalize elections and to nullify the state laws all across this nation. Thank you for raising that point. And friends, you can reach your senators at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. David in Superior, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Oh, yes, I agree with you, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. We have to contact the legislators. We have to step up and be heard because, I mean, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about not understanding and having a veil on the heart when Moses is read. But it goes on to say, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Hmm.
We all have to call every radio station we can get to. We have to write legislators. We have to call legislators because they're using incrementalism and they're going to small places like Missouri. And that woman, I mean, it's just like, remember in the 70s they had the guy with the long hair, the hippie-looking guy standing on the corner, the end is near, you know?
Yeah. Thank you, David.
We're there.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. Well, Greg in Bloomington, Illinois, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Jim, I have a question, and it may not be able to be necessarily answered right away, but maybe one of your listeners knows the answer. It's in regard to the COVID vaccine. My son works for a company that was going to mandate the vaccine. Well, now that the Supreme Court has said you're not allowed to mandate the vaccine, the company was originally going to charge extra for anybody that wasn't going to get the vaccine. If anybody knows if that is still the case with the Supreme Court decision as it is, I would appreciate that. I'm hoping that he doesn't have to, once he gets his benefits, he doesn't have to pay extra for health insurance because he doesn't have the vaccine. So I don't know if that's something you happen to know.
I don't have an answer, an authoritative answer on that. I can do to this. It's likely we're not going to call to respond to that beforehand, but it seems to me that private employers are still allowed to do what they want to do. But if you want to reach out to Liberty Council on that, their number 407-875-1776. That's 407-875-1776. I believe the ruling just said, though, that the Biden administration cannot order OSHA to force this upon companies. But it's my understanding, and again, I've not examined the legality of this, that the private companies, that they will have the authority to make their own decisions in that regard.
Okay, well, that's a great idea. And, I think that's probably a way they can circumvent it. So, okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Elizabeth in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, about abortion. The baby is still a baby at conception. If there's an abortion from the time of conception until the heart starts beating, mm-hmm. you're still killing the baby?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Merlin, Tennessee, our final call today. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. I just wanted to say that I believe this current purging that's happening in the military, and if we remember back when Obama was in originally for them 8 years, he purged over 200 Christian officers out of the military. I believe the reason they're doing it now is they want to remove the threat of the military stepping in and stopping them from destroying the nation. So let's keep praying, brother.
Thank you for your call here today. Friends, troublesome times in which we live, but keep in mind, as Scripture says, in this world ye shall have persecution, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. So let's have our trust, our confidence continue in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stay faithful. Let's be salt. Let's be light in the very dark world in which we live. Thanks for listening today and all this week here on Crosstalk. Hey, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust that you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.